Welcome to Vision for Change Radio with John Stevenson. When faith meets information, everything is possible. It takes just one moment to put your life on the road to success and personal fulfillment. You can obtain God's best when you can see your future in your present. Listen in as we share information that will inspire your spirit and empower your soul.
Well, praise the Lord. Good morning, family. This is John Stevenson. Welcome to Vision for Change Radio. I am so glad you are able to join us today. Caller number for today is 240-638-5430. If you have any comments or suggestions or just need prayer, you know, we are here to intercede and pray for you as well. Our website is www.jsmonline.org. Please come on by our website. We've got some wonderful teachings on the website, some good things you'll enjoy. Also, send us an email at info@jsmonline.org if you need prayer. Saying hello to all our Periscope fans that are watching us out there, that are tuning in each and every week. And I want to thank each and every one of you that are praying and supporting us, anybody that's a partner of this ministry. We are so grateful for your prayers, contribution, anything you give towards, encouraging words, whatever you give to this ministry. We are just so grateful for your love and support. Amen. We generally ask this question. If you're not born again, you want to know how to get born again? Listen, you just confess Jesus as Lord in your life. I make it simple for you. Just say, Lord, take my life and do something with it. The Bible tells us in Romans 10:9, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that God sent him here to die for your sins, you can be born again. And I believe it's the will of God that every man receive Christ as his Lord and Savior. Also, if you're in a place where you're saying, well, I am born again, and I've just kind of been out there, got sidetracked and off a little bit. Listen, God loves you so, so very much. And he wants you. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. So just repent. Turn your life back around. Just right where you are right now. Just say, Lord, just forgive me. Cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I'm back on track. Amen. Well, today I have a very special show. All of the month of May, we're going to be talking about a mother's love, and we have some special guests coming on just to share with you. And today, my guest is gospel artist. She's a Stellar Award nominee, a Dove nominee. It's Vicky Yohe, and she'll be calling in, and we'll talk with her. I'm just so impressed with her as a mother. Some of her testimony, some of the things she shared. So we'll talk about her life, what she's doing, and what's happening with her, and then we'll get into that. But I want to introduce to some of you, and to some of you already know who this is. We bring her on every single week, the lovely, lovely Miss Janice Sturdivant. She is right now engineering, doing her thing, so we'll get to Miss Janice. She's online doing what Janice does. But anyhow, what I wanted to do is I wanted to play a song by Miss Vicky Yohe, because she has a song that most churches, if you're in church, you sing this song. So we're going to jump into Because of Who You Are by Miss Vicky Yohe, and then we'll get her on the line and we'll talk to her in a few minutes. I love you so very much.
Because of who you are.
praise the Lord. That is, I know you want to hear the whole song. I know, and we were getting into it. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. Don't want to cut the song short, but we want to give her enough time to just minister. But Janice is on the phone with her, so I want to introduce Janice. Say hello to everybody.
Good morning to everybody. Hello, 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 listeners. I was trying to greet your people, and then I had to, you know, I can't not answer the phone with Miss Vicky Yohi when she calls. I can't do that.
We can't put her on hold. Right. But how's your weekend, dear?
My weekend was very, very, very good. And of course, Sundays are always amazing. Sundays are good. Get a chance to fellowship and, you know, minister and be with the saints all day. So it was good. And then I saw you all were bowling and everything this weekend. Your church. Did you get any strikes? Did you win?
I did, but for some reason I'm in a bowling league, but I'm not bowling as well as I could be bowling right now. I could be doing a lot better, you know. But I had a good time. We have a bowling league at our church.
Nice.
And, right after the Super Bowl, we generally get together and we do a 10-week league. And
so that's fun.
We had a wonderful time to fellowship, you know. And so folks go to church and, they rest out of church sometimes like it's a school bell
right.
And go home. But we create some things to do after church.
I think
church.
That's fun. That's exciting.
Yeah, we have a wonderful, wonderful time.
I'm going to have to steal that idea for our church.
Yeah, or come hang out with us. You know?
Yes,
come
absolutely.
Hang out with us. Amen. Well, for some of you all may not know who she is, but she is just a beautiful soul. Miss Vicky Yohi, she's a gospel singer, and I can go into all the formalities to introduce her, but I want her to talk a little bit about herself, what she's doing now. We're going to talk about family and a mother, and as I stated earlier, I just listen to her testimony. Every time she comes and ministers at our ministry, she talks about motherhood, and I just love her testimony, so I want her just to share from her heart today. So I want you all to welcome to the Vision for Change radio show, Miss Vicky Yohi. Vicky, are you there?
Yes, hello.
How are you, beautiful?
I'm fantastic. Driving to Miami right now.
Oh, you're in the car.
Yes. I sang in Orlando yesterday, and so instead of getting a plane, I fly so much, I said, rent me a car. So I got about a three-hour drive. So, y'all, we can talk for 3 hours. I'm good.
She said 3 hours. I wish I had 3 hours to talk to you,
No.
So how was your weekend?
It was great. Wonderful. We did a Majestic Life here in Orlando with Dr. Reva Timms. And so, yeah, we had a great, great time yesterday. And I love to be in the presence of God. I love to worship. I'm a worshiper, so that's my favorite thing to do.
Okay. Well, Vicky, I could go into, like I said, a long introduction and read what's on your website and all the bios and all that. You were born into a minister's family, but I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself before we get talking about motherhood, and just tell us what you're doing and what's going on, and just give us a little history of the Vicky Yohi some may not know.
Well, I was born in Normal, Illinois. Some people question if I'm normal, but I was born in the city of Normal, Illinois, and I sang and wrote my first song when I was five, and it was called "I Don't Wear No Miniskirts, I Believe in God." And I want to sing that today because I have put that song to rest. But yes, that was my first song. And I remember when my dad was a pastor, I remember one Sunday, I always requested myself to sing. That was just one something I always did as a kid, and I'd send a note up with somebody else, have Vicky sing. And I remember one Sunday I requested myself to sing that song, and my dad brought me to the platform, and he said, "What are we going to do about that?" He said, "Your skirt's above your knees. Your song says you don't wear no miniskirts." Well, that song had about 150 verses. I don't watch no television. I don't wear no makeup. I don't, And so I said, "Well, I'll just leave that verse out." Well, I had forgotten to leave the verse out. I started pulling my skirt down, had my skirt down to my ankle, down to my knees. My mama had to come up and rescue me. But anyway, that was my first song that I wrote. And ever since then, I've been writing. And probably when I was about 28, though, I really started understanding praise and worship and really what it does to Him, that we can cause Him to bless and that we can move Him with our worship and that we can cause Him to rise to His feet. And, the angels shout Hosanna, the wind whispers He's alive, the flowers in the field burst forth with blooming, the ocean rocks slap against the rocks to applaud Him. But when we begin to praise Him, there's something about our praise. And when I realized that He was waiting for my unique way of how I worship Him and my unique way of how I lift my hand, my whole life completely changed. And so I'm a worshiper forever, and that's what I do right now. I love to lead people into the presence of God. And, you know, sometimes people, they just go to church and they go through the motions and they go through the songs and they just go there just to do their, you know, they feel like that's their duty, you know, to stay in good graces with God and just come to church. But when you understand that He waits for your worship, that He anticipates your arrival, He anticipates your worship. And so that changed my life. And so I try to convey that to everywhere I go, that there's something about your praise that He loves. And He'll send angels from the sanctuary to work out some things on our behalf. So many times we come into His presence and we give Him a list of what we need, and He just wants us to worship Him because of who He is.
Amen. 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 And if everybody's ever experienced your ministry, they can see it. And you usher in the presence of God. Just even when we're talking, having a good time, you love the Lord. So
I do.
Yeah. And you can see it. It's all over you, Vicky. How long you've been ministering, Vicky? Tell our listeners how long you've been doing this. We're not talking about just singing, but your relationship and ministering like you do.
Well, I've always said since a very young girl that someday I would travel and sing. But, you know, I didn't push any doors open. And this is a word for somebody. You know, when God has called you, God will open the right doors. And I remember I was a music director at a church for 5 years and led worship at a church. And I just was faithful. I think I only missed one service in 5 years. And when I was 25 years old, I went to sing at a conference. And I sang, and 17 preachers came to my little table. I had my little cassette. This is 26 years ago. And they stood in line, not their wives. It was preachers, pastors. And I had 17 invitations to go sing at conferences all over this country. And that was 26 years ago. And so it was very clear that God was opening a new, you know, path of ministry for me. And so I started going and traveling. And so 26 years later, I've 11 CDs later, about 100 plus places a year. And I'm still going, you know, leading people in the presence of God. So I always tell, you know, I got to tell a quick story. I had a young man a few years back said, what advice do you have for a struggling praise and worship leader? And I said, what's the struggle? What are you talking about? Struggling praise and worship leader? He says, I want to do what you do. I want to have CDs like you have, and I want to travel like you are. I said, well, that's your problem. You need to love what you do. Get in there and worship and lead people in the presence of God. And if it's His will for you to have CDs, to make CDs, for you to travel, He will open those doors. He said, well, I'm thinking about quitting my music director's position. I said, has anybody called you? No. I said, keep your job, you know. Let God open that door. And that's when I can say, I never pushed open any of those doors. I just loved what I did. In fact, if I never went to that conference and those 17 preachers would have never invited me, I would probably still be at that church leading people in the presence of God, because that's what I love to do. See, He saw my heart. Amen. He saw that whether I was just singing in front of 1,200 people or to the masses, that I was going to get, it was from my heart. And so I think God looks at the heart and sees your intentions. What are your motivations? So if you're somebody out there, you say, you know, I just want to travel and I want to lead people in the presence of God, just leave worship right there where you are in your home church.
Amen.
And let God do the rest.
Amen. I say that often. You know, one of the foundations of this ministry is that you serve your gift to the world. And I believe that once you get involved in your local church, it does a couple of things. There's a reason why we go to church. One, we know we need the word. But then second, also, it's those relationships that we build as we're serving in ministry together. And we're giving, because there's so many people in the local community that needs that gift. But sometimes we look past that gift, Vicky, you know, where we are locally, to try to be national. But serve
and
we
hey,
are.
Hey, I don't want to be negative on this whole thing, but some people are not national material. I'm not trying to be negative, but you know what? You know, some people, God has raised up some worship leaders just for the local body.
Mm-hmm.
And so people's ego gets in the way. And if this is okay to be real talk,
yeah.
People's ego gets in the way. Well, you know what? I think I'm good enough to, well, you know what? Does God think you're good enough to travel around? Is that His will? Mm-hmm. Not that you're not good enough, but some people are just for the local body.
Yeah.
And it's a hard realization for some people, but it's true. I go to some churches, I'm thinking, you know, they're, it's great. I hope this person just sticks right here because they're great. But, you know, not everybody can go to the nations.
Right, right, right.
I know that's horrible to say, but it's the truth.
It is not horrible to say. I think we miss it because in the military, we need our generals. We need our sergeants. We need foot soldiers. We need everybody. And if everybody can find their place, God will prosper who you are if we're looking at it for
absolutely.
The money.
Absolutely.
You don't chase the money. Just chase God and let God do what he's got to do. You can be a billionaire where you are. It doesn't matter. So sometimes we're looking at the natural side. And I appreciate you. So you're not, you didn't take any bounds. You didn't go too far here. I love that stuff. You know, we could talk about that all day. But what I do want to get into is I'm just so impressed with your motherhood, you being a mother. And I know we have other moms out here. And so tell everybody a little bit about you being a mom and the boys, and let's get into that.
Okay, well, I got married about when I was 30. I was 30, and I waited till I was 30. I was a virgin when I got married, and I thought that I would just have a bunch of kids. I just thought, hey, you know what? And I wanted to have children, and I couldn't have children. And so that, so I piled up for 9 years. Woe is me, you know, look at God. I saved myself from my husband. Now I can't have kids. So I pouted for 9 years. I mean, I pouted. And I went to Uganda, probably in 1999. And I sang that. I was there actually for 3 weeks. I went into the villages. I went all into Uganda, different parts. And when I left there, I said, you know what? Someday I'm going to come back and open an orphanage. I said, you know what? There's just 1.7 million parentless children. I'm going to come back there. Well, you know what? I just spoke that. I didn't know how I was going to come back. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I just spoke it. In 2005, we set a date that when we were going to go open that orphanage. A week later, Darlene Bishop, a good friend of mine, she has a home for unwed mothers, mm-hmm. she called me and she said, Vicki, I've got you a baby. He's going to be born in a week. Do you want him? And God quickly spoke to me and said, Vicki, I was waiting for you to get your eyes off of yourself. When you spoke about the children in Uganda, that you were going to go there to help the children of Uganda, he said, you got your eyes off of yourself. Now go get your baby. Mm-hmm. And so when I hung up the phone, it was just like, whew. You know, God just said, you know what? You were so focused on you. Now you're talking about the 1.7 million parent was showing you gone to go get your baby. So I was able to adopt Walker. Mm-hmm. Now, there's maybe a mother out there, I mean, a lady that wants to be a mother can't have children. I suggest that you go get your home study, get it ready, because it takes 2 years. You can have it for 2 years, and then get the word out that you want to have a baby. You want to adopt a baby, because what happens is, see, I was prepared. I had my home study because I was prepared, so I was able to adopt Walker right away. And so a lot of people saying they want to adopt, they can't have children, and they pout around. Get prepared. Get yourself prepared so when that baby does come available, you know, you'll be prepared. And so, you know, I was prepared, and so I got Walker a week later. He's now 11 years old, a beautiful biracial boy. I always say black babies are cute, white babies are cute, but those biracial babies are off the chain. I'm telling you something, he is a good looking. And then I've got another one that I adopted from Atlanta, and his name is Adley, and he's 8. So I have 2 boys. And then the orphanage has been open for about 11 years. I went over there slowly, started getting children. It's a long story how I ended up opening it, but I don't have time for that today. But I have 42 children there. So I'm a mother of 44 children. And, yes, it's pretty interesting. But God, you know, my message when I share this story right here is get your eyes off of yourself and think about something else besides you not being able to have children. And, mm-hmm. you know, and there are times now, you know, people will come up to me in church, well, you know, I know you weren't able to have children. They want to lay hands on me. I said, no, listen, I am 50 years old. Mm-hmm. I've got 44 children. I'm good, you know. They'll say, whoa, take your hand off of me. No, I'm not. No, you don't realize how old I am. No, I'm, my 2 boys, you couldn't convince me that I didn't carry them for 9 months. I mean, my love for them is so deep. My love for them, because I left the hospital when they were a day old. Mm-hmm. So You know, I didn't have, I had the weight gain because I like to eat, not because I have babies, you know. But, you know, it's <that's> true. You know, some women have the excuse, you know, they're way overweight because, you know, I've got four or five children, you know. Well, I didn't have that excuse, but I wish I would have had that excuse. but you know what's funny, John? You could ask those ladies, well, okay, oh, you have five children, so how old is your youngest? Oh, he's 35, so it takes a long time to get that weight off, you know. So anyway, you know, God has been good to me, and I love my kids, and I don't think I would have done it any other way, you know. You know, I travel, and so, you know, carrying a child for 9 months, that probably wasn't in God's plan, you know. Right. So you just got to, this is when you got to really rely on the Word of God. What kind of, you know, what you got down in the well will come up in the bucket. If you got possum in the well, possum will come up. If you got the Word in the Word will come up. And so that's really, I'm living the Word that I've been speaking to everybody else, you know, trust in Him and lean not to your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. It may not be the direction that I taught, you know, when I got married, you know, and it's no secret, I've actually been divorced for over a year now. And, you know, what is interesting about the whole scenario of my divorce is, you know what, we get along, we have two children, and, you know, I tell that to everyone that goes through divorce. It's not something that I really wanted at all. I believe God for 5 years. I pray, Lord, restore this marriage. And but as a mother and as him as a father, we made the decision, put our differences aside, and we're going to get along because we have children. They've never heard me say one negative thing about their dad. Their dad has never said one negative thing to them about me. You know, so, you know, I've heard different, you know, parents argue. I remember not long ago at my son's soccer game, there was a mother and a father standing there with a little boy looking up at him. And the mother said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, Johnny wanted me to come. And, well, you didn't get my text not to come. And that little boy would look at the mother and look at the father and go back and forth. And I wanted to go tell him, y'all shut up. Mm-hmm. Right in front of your child, both of y'all come to the soccer game. He loves both of you. You got him right here in the middle of it. And so, you know what, for our children's sake, as a mother, I made the decision that I want peace. I want my kids. That is their father, no matter what issue we had. I am their mother, no matter what issue that we had. And so I'm just, you know, I just challenge all the mothers and the fathers out there, you know, for your children's sake, you know, don't be going back and forth in front of them. And don't be, you know, just have peace in the whole situation. So, anyway, I kind of got off track there, but
yeah, no, that's fine. We said we were going to let you go.
That might have helped somebody.
No, and that's what the purpose of this is. Okay, so I want to get. We're running a little bit out of time here. I want to ask you this question because you are very busy, and you do, like you said, you have over 100 engagements a year. How do you balance that? Because there are several people out here listening that don't have 100 engagements a year. But I know you do it, and I know the common answer would be the grace of God, but it's not a common answer. Talk a little bit about how God gives you the wisdom to balance the ministry, the orphanage, and with Walker and Adley. How do you do that?
Well, I will tell you this. When I am home, if, you know, I have a lot of friends in Baton Rouge and stuff. When I am home, if they want to do anything with me, like go out to dinner or, I mean, forget dinner, go out to eat, going to have to be during lunch, because when my kids get home from school, I usually either pick them up. I'm the one that picks them up. I take them to school and pick them up when I'm in town. And so I can't see myself out in the evening with a bunch of friends and my kids at home when I travel like I do.
Mm-hmm.
So they just know if they got something going on in the evening, I'm not going to be with them because I got to be with my boys. And so that's really how I balance it all. When I'm home, you know, and their dad always makes sure that, you know, I have them, and you know, we have a very good situation there. And so I make time for them. You know, I remember like this past week, Adley had three field trips.
Mm-hmm.
I was at home to be able to go on two of them. He got sick the last day, but I try and make sure I look way in advance on my schedule. Okay, I need to be here at home for this field trip. Mm-hmm. It's Parents' Day on this day. I just make it work. You just have to make it work. And, you know, I talk to them when I'm on the road. They don't really like to talk to me on the road because usually when I call them, they're playing a game or something. Mom, hurry up. Mom, hurry up. I'm trying to. Okay, all right, Mom, love you. Love you. Okay, Mom. But they really, you know, on the road, they don't really care about being on the, talking on the phone with me. But I touch base with them, and it's a really good situation. And when they were younger, they traveled with me. Actually, by the time Walker was 2 years old, he'd already flown like 300 times. And, you know, Adley, he's flown over 200 or 300 times also. So when I could take them on the road, they would fly with me, you know, and I took a nanny with me.
Okay.
But now, no, they're in school, so they can't go. So, yeah, I just make it work. I make sure I spend time with them.
Hey, man. Well, Vicki, I'm running out of time here. I want to ask about the orphanage. If I
told you I had 3 hours. What's up?
I wish I could give you 3 hours. We could do a part two if you want, but we have to talk.
No, I'm just teasing.
Listen, the orphanage. How can my listeners get involved and help you with that orphanage? I want to put that out there really, really quick. We got about maybe 30 to 40 seconds to get that in. How can they help someone to that orphanage?
We have a website, newdestinyforchildren.com. Newdestinyforchildren.com. You can go there and donate. We have a big budget every month, and so it'd be awesome. You know, the average income there is $50 a month. Mm-hmm. So $50, our dollar really goes a long ways over there. So, we would sure appreciate the support. My vision is to have a campus to house 1,000. It's a big vision. It's going to take a lot of finances. And so, yes, we desperately need support at this time.
Okay, Vicki, thank you so very much. I had a question by one of my Periscope list viewers. They had something. So if you get a chance and view the Periscope, which you probably will, maybe we can answer that question about selfless faith. Listen, I love you, love you, love you, love you. Listen,
thank you, John.
We appreciate it. I'll holler back at you. All right.
All right. God bless.
God bless you, too.
Bye-bye.
We'll be right back, folks.
Are you a working mom, a single, married, or a mom of a blended family? If so, we invite you to the TSM presentation of Moms Rocks, a unique conference experience for all moms on Saturday, May 21st from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the University of Maryland Marriott. Tickets are $72.50. Seating is limited and lunch is included. Don't miss the dynamic workshop schedule catered to all types of moms. For more information and group rates, text ROCKS, R-O-C-K-S, to 71441 or call 757-404-1838 today.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for tuning in to Vision for Change. That was Vicki Yohe today. Listen, you don't want to miss next week. We have Pastor Cynthia Brazelton of Victory Christian Ministries International, 4 locations. She's going to come on. We are still talking about mothers all month of May. Listen, we want to pray for you. Send us an email, info@jsmonline.org. And remember, all things are possible if you can just believe. We love you. See you next week.
Our message for today, we believe your life has been changed through the power of the Word of God and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. For more information, please stop by our website at jsmonline.org. And remember, all things are possible if you can just believe.